Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well,
welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Great to be here this week. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Julie. Happy Wednesday.
Thank you. Well, lots of interesting stories and news tidbits today. Dog Talk Show trivia later in the show.
Looking forward to that.
For a full book of Adopt-A-Shelter pet stamps.
You know what I like about the Dog Talk Show trivia?
What?
Aside from getting to play the sound effects that I rarely get to play in the rest of the time, I actually learned something from Dog Talk Show trivia.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, like the question last week about Dachshunds and or not Dachshunds, it was the fire dogs.
Yes.
Dalmatians. Yep. Thank you. Another D dog.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a natural inclination toward another animal, and it was horses, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. And later on during the week, in fact, yesterday we replayed the show. And I found myself stumped again by the question for a few seconds. And then I was like, oh, yes, it's horses.
Right.
There you
because
go.
They were coaching dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So they would follow when vehicles were horse-drawn carriages. And it was horsepower, literally. Dalmatians would run alongside of those and guard and stuff. And so they just, it's in their genes. And I actually have kind of an interesting article about doggy genes. I found a lot of interesting, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff out there on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But first,
some of it is even dog related.
Yeah, dog related. I've got all sorts of different stories to talk about that I found in looking at latest dog news and stuff like that. Some interesting scientific things, some interesting just sort of stories. But I have to first let everybody know how Leia did last weekend at Wienerfest. She had her first racing experience. She was in the Wiener Dog races at Wienerfest Northwest, which was last weekend, and it was a benefit for Almost Home Dachs and Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful turnout. Tons of people there on Saturday, which was the big racing day. It was just packed. I mean, there was like the stands were full. There were people standing all around it. Lots of dogs. I think there were like 16 or 17 heats of just the adult racing dogs. And so that was a great event. And just my congratulations to Sherry Jones and Mike Lawson, who were the coordinators of the event. It was their first year doing this, doing the Wienerfest. They had done other Wiener Dog Race type events, but the first year of Wienerfest, it was a great success, and I look forward to it next year.
So
Leia raced, and Leia is my dachshund, and she is she's adorable and all that great stuff, and very fast. And so, you know, she had her first race experience this weekend, and I was actually really, like, I mean, I wasn't crazy. I was still grounded and not losing perspective on life or anything like that. But, and I was also very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Not nervous, just anxious. Anyway, so, and we had worked with her a bit to kind of make sure that she would actually cross the finish line, because some of the dogs don't even go anywhere. Like, it's like, ready, set, go. And then they let, you know, the people who are holding the dogs at the one end let them go. And then what they're supposed to do is run to the other end and cross the line. And then there's somebody on the other end that they're running to. And some of the dogs just don't move because there's a lot of people. They might be uncomfortable, or they run off the other direction because they have their own agenda, whatever. Leia ran due to some training, but she ran right to me, which was great. I just wanted her to run her best race possible. So she won her first heat. So she was up against three other dogs and raced and, yeah, thank you. Yeah, very proud. She ran her first heat, and I'll give away, well, should I give away my secret? people, so I was noticing a lot as far as dog training goes at the races, and it's all about motivation.
Right.
So it's trying to find, you know, a motivation for the dog if they're not just automatically motivated by the person to run to you. And people were using all sorts of different types of tactics. One person had a laser pointer, which was potentially problematic because she was pointing it actually on the track, which would potentially distract other dogs,
mm-hmm.
like Leia, who would go crazy for that. And it didn't work out very well. But laser pointer, lots of squeaky toys and balls. But I saw some
treats. Was there treats involved?
You know, you didn't see that many people using treats.
Hmm.
And dachshunds are typically very food motivated.
Yeah.
I had chicken breast,
hmm.
which worked very well. So
that's what I would have done.
I went up and showed it to her and then backed up and she was looking at me and Darcy was holding her and she was like, let me get out, you know, and they said, ready, set, go. And she went and off she went and she won her first heat and then she lost in the semifinals.
Well, she already had some of the chicken breast. She was just like, yeah.
No, she ran. I mean, it was close. So yeah. It was like, you know, all the winners of all the heats then have to run against each other. So they sort of weed out the dogs that don't run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like all the dogs were running. It was like, you know, watching a human foot race where everyone's running as fast as they can. But the fastest dog won and it wasn't Leia. But she ran her little heart out and it was so fun and I'm just very proud of her. So,
well, do you remember the name of the champion dog?
No, but I remember what he looked like. And I was actually eyeballing him during the practice runs.
Did he look
heat.
Like a little sausage with legs?
Well, I was like, he's fast. He's trouble. He's going to be tough to beat. And he did end up winning the first day. And then they ended up doing more races on the second day because there were enough people that wanted to do it. So anyway, so I have that on video and I'm going to post it, but I need to I need to get the software again for my flip video camera so that I can post it easily. But I do have that winning race on video. It was very exciting.
And that'll, of course, go on the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com.
It is. And we are available on iTunes. So if you've missed any past shows or if you can't listen live, you can always catch us on iTunes. It's a free download. You can subscribe to the Dog Talk Show for free. Just search for the Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes. That's me. And also all the past shows are archived on the website, which Eric just said is www.dogtalkshow.com. If you go to the podcast page, all of the shows are there as well. So there's lots of different ways to listen. So today I've got a ton of great stories. I did want to say, though, that just a shout out to our advertisers who support the Dog Talk Show. If it wasn't for them, we would have a hard time being on air. And these are all companies and services and products that I personally recommend. So listen, please, to the advertisements. And if you are in need of any of these services, know that they are a recommendation from me personally. I would not advertise a business or service that I didn't believe in myself. So also, Levi, the cattle dog, because we brought all the dogs this weekend to support Leia. You know, we went as a family.
Team Leia.
Yeah. And Levi, actually, we entered him into the all-breed stupid tricks contest, and he won that.
Nice.
Yep.
What is his stupid trick?
Well, he has a few, being a cattle dog, but he did bang, which a bunch of other people did, so it was kind of, you know, that's really cute, but when everybody's doing it, you know, so you need something that's really going to set you apart.
He did bang? I'm sorry?
Like, you point your finger at them and say bang, and then they lay down.
Oh, okay.
And, like play dead. Kind of, right. Let's see. Oh, high five, which he did. High five with his paw, which is really cute. But the one that I think won was where Darcy actually competed with him, and where she sticks her leg out straight and he jumps over it back and forth. Keyword being stupid dog tricks, and
right.
He won.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. We have a little plaque for him, so it was really fun. So speaking, I was just talking about our advertisers. We do have ad spots available still if you are interested in advertising your business or product or service. get in touch with me, host@dogtalkshow.com. That's my email. That gets you directly to me, host@dogtalkshow.com, and I will send you information about that. I'm going to have those spots filled by the end of the month. So if you have been on the fence about it, considering it, do act in August because those will be full by the end of the month. host@dogtalkshow.com. You can also email me if you would like a Dog Talk Show car sticker, which are gaining in popularity. They have been spotted all up and down Western Washington. And I've even had emails from people in Massachusetts, in Kentucky, in Pennsylvania, requesting Dog Talk Show car stickers. They're very cute. They look exactly like the oval logo, which is on the website, at the top of the website, dogtalkshow.com. If you would like a free car sticker, I'd be happy to send you one. Just email me your address, host@dogtalkshow.com, and I will get one or as many as you would like out to you as soon as I can. So when we come back, I've got some stories that I found about various things, some science-related stories, some interesting dog news. I also have a story that I wanted to share about a client of mine, Gilbert, the Labradoodle, and just to share with everybody about his behaviors, because I think they're very common. He's a 10-month-old Labradoodle, and he's very smart, and he has been doing a certain behavior that I'm going to talk about and get in depth about too, because I think a lot of people are in the same boat as Gilbert's parents. So we will be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
What a good dog. And remember, practice fire safety every day.
Sparkles the fire safety.
Can carpet cleaners change the world? They can try. At Green Shield Carpet Cleaning, they believe that the earth is our only home. The cleaner we make it, the better home it is. Their process is Green Seal approved, 100% organic, non-toxic, hypoallergenic, perfume-free, and rinses clean. Right now, Green Shield Carpet Cleaning will clean up to three areas in a hallway for only $99. This includes pet urine enzyme treatment, deodorization, and stain guard application at no extra charge. Call Green Shield Carpet Cleaning at 206-414-1039. On the east side, call 425-440-8316. Or you can visit them on the web at greenshieldcarpetcleaning.com. Green Shield Carpet Cleaning, changing the world one customer at a time.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next week, Vicki talks with mystery writer J.A. Jantz and Dr. Alessio Fasano about the latest findings and best ways to cope with celiac disease.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your pet cycle system today.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Safety dog, she knows just what to do, and she always has a meeting place.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. The famous Sparkles the Fire Safety Dog theme song that was in my head for at least probably 3 days, because we had firefighter Dana Hilton and Sparkles the Fire Safety Dog on the show.
That's right. Last week.
Last week.
I think the only guests we've had on the show so far that have their own theme song.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah, but I'd have to think about that. Certainly that we've played on the show.
Right.
And what a theme song it is. Very catchy. So, let's see. I want to talk about Gilbert the Labradoodle, and also want to invite listeners to call in today if you have questions about dog training behavior or food. I would love to take your call and answer your question on air. The number to call is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And a little bit about me. I am the owner of Sensitive Dog here in Seattle. I'm a dog training, behavior, and food specialist, and I do in-home private lessons in the greater Seattle area and also group classes downtown at the Barking Lounge, downtown Seattle, on Wednesday nights. And I've been in this field for about eight years, and that's where my expertise is. So I'm going to share about one of my recent clients, Gilbert, the 10-month-old Labradoodle. If you have a question about your dog, quirky behavior, even something maybe health-related, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and answer your question. I'm sure your question is somebody else's as well. 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So Gilbert is a 10-month-old Labradoodle, and I met him last week for the first time. And he has this behavior. He's a great dog, really wonderful temperament. Actually, quite generally speaking, especially for a 10-month-old doodle, and Labradoodle is a Labrador and Poodle mix. Actually, quite calm. He wasn't, you know, bouncing off the walls or anything like that, and was very... just kind of generally grounded, but he has this behavior that was problematic, that he will steal things and really, really, really problematic for them. He's stealing shoes and running out the backyard. And then when they try to get it from him, he'll chase and tear around and all that.
That's a bad doodle.
He's a bad doodle. So the... before I answer this question, my own, you know, share Gilbert's story, perhaps Michelle from Edmonds has a similar question, so I'm going to hold off and answer Michelle's question first. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. So you have a Boston Terrier?
Well, it's actually my mother's dog.
Okay.
And she's about 10 years old as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that she's developed a really funny habit. My mom has moved into a new house. She's been there for, not like new construction, but she's been there for about 7 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I come over to the house, she seems, happy to see me, the dog that is.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to talking, my mother and I, with conversations, and she loves to go upstairs and dig in the carpet in my mom's closet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing there for her. I mean, there's nothing in there that she would want, but it's kind of like neurotic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot figure out why she's doing this. So we grab a newspaper and we snap it on our hands and we tell her no. And we've done, we've blocked the stairs, but she jumps over the gate and she runs up the stairs. She digs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really strange. She's never done this before. It seems to happen, or it seems to have developed since she's moved into this house.
And you said she's 10 years old?
Yeah, she's maybe 8 to 10.
Okay.
She's a little Boston, a pure Boston Terrier.
Okay.
Female.
And does she only do it when you are over?
It feels that way. I should ask my mom if she does it when I'm not there, but it always happens when I come over to visit.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things that I would be curious about with this type of behavior. A move is stressful for everybody, including the animals. So sometimes you will see behaviors crop up that are just sort of a result of stress, just general stress, and then it'll manifest mm-hmm. for a dog, oftentimes in some sort of instinctive behavior. You know, digging certainly being one of those things. one thing that I'm curious, or a couple things that I'm curious about. One is if the dog, is the dog male or female?
Female.
Female. If she does it just when you are over or just when your mom has company, then, mm-hmm. then I would think that it's attention related.
Okay.
And then I would also ask what happens when she digs. So, you know, she dug there, she did it the first time and then, or the first few times, and then what likely happened as a result of that behavior, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so if you describe, like, you go up there and you try to interrupt the behavior, you know, make a loud noise, clap your hand, that type of thing, well, that can actually reinforce the behavior because it's getting your attention.
I see. Yeah, and we were trying to reprimand her, but we don't believe in hitting animals.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't recommend mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend that you ever, you know, that anybody ever hit an animal as a way to
right.
correct a behavior.
Exactly.
But you could try something like a squirt bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens a lot, and this is actually tied into what I was about to talk about with my client's 10-month-old doodle, but a lot of times what happens for people is that in an attempt to correct a behavior, they actually reinforce it. So
mm-hmm.
not only are you not effectively correcting the behavior, but it's actually, you know, making it worse because it's being reinforced, and that's with negative attention. So
mm-hmm.
for dogs, you know, we could scream as loud as we possibly could and get as mad as we possibly can. And for a dog, that's attention. It's kind of similar
mm-hmm.
with kids, you know, like they'd rather be yelled at than ignored.
Sure. Well,
so,
she is extremely, the relationship with the dog and my mother is extremely close. I mean, she wasn't socialized
mm-hmm.
as a puppy,
mm-hmm.
and my mother purchased her when she lost her husband,
mm-hmm.
so it's a very dependent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe she feels threatened by having company over is exactly what you're saying, and she's not socialized.
Or it could be that she's you know, not necessarily scared, but upset, is like, not really jealous, but wants the attention. Like, she doesn't like that your mom is giving her attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
So she will learn these, you know, behaviors to do to draw attention to her.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when it's up to the dog to, you know, choose the behavior, it's usually a destructive behavior. Barking, like I had a client whose dog barked when the phone rang, and anytime she was talking on the phone, she would
mm-hmm.
just start barking like crazy, and it was a way to control her.
Mm-hmm.
So it can have dominance and leadership and implications for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be kind of the first things that I would look into is, you know, when does she do it? To first find out, is it just when she has company, or does she do it otherwise? Does she do it when she's on the phone? Does she do it as a way to, if your mom's attention is on something else, is that when she does it?
Okay.
And then, you know, and then if that's the case, sort of identifying the cause of the behavior, then you look at, okay, well, what were you doing? And what you were doing must have been reinforcing it because she continues the behavior. And then what do you need to do instead to interrupt the behavior so that she's not getting anything out of it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you have further questions or, you know, want to schedule an in-home lesson or anything like that, I'm available for that. You can reach me at host@dogtalkshow.com.
Host@dogtalkshow.com?
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you very much for the help. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
I'll look forward to looking at that site.
Okay.
All righty. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, those little Boston Terriers, they're smart. So that's my first, like I said, my first questions about the situation. And oftentimes, you know, it's always valuable to look at the whole environment and kind of take a holistic view. And without seeing the dog, can't quite get a feel for it. But I have a hunch that it's probably attention-getting behavior based off of what she said. Great question.
Possibly something's buried under that closet.
Yeah, like right. There's hidden treasure.
There's a bone or something under there.
Yeah. I think there's probably a bone underneath the closet. And
right.
So rip up the floor.
You might want to check.
So Well, you know, mice. I've seen dogs kind of go after walls and stuff because mm-hmm. there's actually rodents in it. But if it's, I think it was an upper level closet. I don't know much about
it. Yeah, she said it was upstairs.
Yeah.
So very hopefully it's not mice.
Hopefully not. No. That's no fun. But she does have a Boston Terrier. Well, I don't know if really Boston Terriers would be good since they're not technically terriers, which was a dog talk show trivia question earlier.
That's right.
Yeah.
Proving once again.
They're not in the terrier group, even though terrier is in their name. But that is related certainly to Gilbert, the dog that I was about to talk about, because what he had done is basically created a behavior that or offered a behavior that was reinforced with negative attention. And what that would get him was they would chase him around and they couldn't catch him, which is often the case because dogs have four legs and we have two, so they're faster. And, you know, he's a young athletic dog, so he would steal, and what he really liked to do was steal shoes. And so they couldn't ignore him because he would chew up the shoe, and they didn't want him to do that. And then they had actually gone to a couple different training places and gotten some advice from other trainers. And what trainers said, some other trainers had said, was to get a treat and to call him to them and then give him the treat. But what happens with that is it rewards him from coming, but then he will actually initiate the behavior in order to get a treat. So that actually reinforces it. And it did. Because it got worse and that just, he was coming to them really well, which is great, but it wasn't dealing with the behavior specifically. So, well, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to bring Janice in Redmond on the line. She has a question about her 7-month-old puppy who's barking excessively. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
So my very favorite breed, they're cute and cuddly, easy dogs to feed. They'll help bring you up whenever you are down. Average 20 pounds.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, we'll start off with Kat Albrecht from Missing Pet Partnership with a 4th of July follow-up report. She'll tell us all about the animals that went missing and how successful they were at reuniting them with their families. Kat has some great stories to tell, and find out how you can help them find more missing animals on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We're there in the 11th century. Napoleon had won to prevent misery.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And I am taking calls today. If you have a question about your dog, quirky behavior, training, or food-related, give us a call, 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And we have Janice in Redmond on line one, who has a question about her seven-month-old puppy. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Sure, thank you. I have a seven-month-old who is a combination golden retriever border collie. And she's as sweet and loving as can possibly be. However, she's developed this habit lately that I take her to Marymore Park every day, and she started to bark very heavily at little kids and sound very scary, like she sounds mean. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked with her a lot that telling little kids, oh, she's just a puppy and she's afraid of you and could you pet her? So she's got better with kids, but now she's kind of flipped it where she's okay with kids, but now she's flipping it to adults. Mm-hmm. And like we'll be walking on a walk or at the park and she'll just pick on somebody, like she'll just bark uncontrollably at them and sound very mean.
Mm-hmm. Has this behavior started within the last month or two?
Yes.
So in the last month or two, she hit adolescence. She's 7 months old now.
Right.
And dogs hit adolescence at about 6 months, but you know, there's a bit of variation there between individuals. And so what can happen really commonly with dogs when they hit adolescence, especially, you know, 7, 8, 9 months old where they're early adolescent, is that they can become where they weren't before as puppies. They can become very reactive to their environments. And it can be really inconsistent, too. I mean, it can be, some people see it manifest in that dogs, like things like umbrellas or big hats or, you know, big raincoats or even like a telephone booth or something like that will just spook the dogs and they'll start like barking at it. And it's like, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. It can really happen with anything. And so, you know, something, did your dog as a puppy have much exposure to children of that age?
Just at Marymore Park.
Okay.
And then I take her to Redmond Home Center, to the mall, so she can get socialized there, being outdoors on a leash. And she's always been just a great dog until at this point, her behavior is tough to deal with.
Yeah.
With the barking.
Yeah. Well, and it is, like you said, it sounds really scary and for you and for the people that she's barking at. And so, you know, it can really feed into itself that way as well. The main thing with this type of reactive behavior, and this is true with a dog of any age, but like I said, 7 months old, you've got a big dose of it at this age, is okay. The key is engaging the brain and getting her to think, because if she's thinking, she's not reacting.
Okay.
So it's going to take, you know, and every dog is an individual. So when talking about training, it's a matter of finding the combination of methods that works best for that individual dog. But it's going to be some combination of using both positive reinforcement and correction, because the positive reinforcement is there to let her know what the right choices are and to reinforce the behaviors that you want. The correction is necessary in order to engage the brain and kind of snap her out of that reactive.
Okay.
Because if she's, you know, sees a child or adult or whatever it is that's setting her off, you're probably finding it pretty hard to communicate with her because of she's so amped up and barking. So you need something that's going to get in there and interrupt the behavior and engage her brain so that you can then redirect her and put some structure in the interaction. And that will help to ground her. And then what you can do is, even with something as simple as sitting, Now, you're not distracting her, but you're redirecting her, and there is a big difference between those two. But once you correct the behavior and interrupt it, engage her brain, and then redirect her, so let's say, for example, you're able to get her out of that barking behavior, and then you ask her to sit, as an easy example. And then she sits, and now her brain is occupied by the request that you've asked her to do. And then what you can do is have the child or the adult engage her in the context of the sit. So then they can start to say, good sit, and then maybe give her a treat. But but that way she's clear that she's getting the reward for the sit, not for the behavior. Because let's say she starts barking furiously at somebody and then they just give her a treat as in an effort to try to create a positive association. That can actually reinforce the behavior itself, because how are we clear that the dog really understands what the reward is for? She could think, oh, gosh, when I start barking like this, I get a treat.
So what do you feel is the best correction? So in immediate feedback, so she's fine, and then all of a sudden something spooks her and she starts barking. What do you feel is the best correction, like immediately, for me to say or do?
Yep. Well, it has to be something that happens with the word no. So I would use either a squirt bottle or a training collar, like a prong collar, because you need to make sure that you're protecting her neck from damage. I wouldn't use like a head collar.
What about when we're off leash?
If you're off leash, then you're going to want to work with her for a while first to get this behavior under control. Because right now it's probably too much freedom. She's getting overstimulated. She's overreactive as a teenager. So you have to work with her on this behavior, specifically on leash, so that she learns, you know, she stops doing this reaction. It doesn't become more of a habit as she continues to practice it. And putting her on leash. And an off-leash dog park might not be the best choice to do that, because then she's on leash in an off-leash dog park and you've got all these other off-leash dogs running around. So are there other environments that are similar, where you have a similar crowd, that you could take her on leash and work with her? And then also, too, you know, learning how to deal with the specific behavior, but then also just generally establishing a really strong foundation of training, so that you actually have those words and you have that working relationship established with her.
Okay, so thank you.
Yep,
that helps.
And like I said before, if you have more questions or feel like you want to meet somewhere and work on this, you know, more in depth, you can get in touch with me at host@dogtalkshow.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes, very, actually very common, and a lot of people don't know to expect this with a lot of dogs, is that when they hit adolescence, they change, and sometimes very drastically. And that reactive behavior is a very common thing. I've heard it called the teenage weirds that happens when a dog hits about 6 months old, and then it's like, what? Why did you start doing this behavior? You never did this when you were a baby. But, you know, adolescents just...
Teenagers are weird, right?
It's not an easy time. It's not an easy time for anybody. I can remember my early adolescence not being the easiest time. So, you know, it's a matter of putting some structure in place. You know, if it's a situation where the dog is unsure, which is often, you know, like she had said, it was a reaction to to novelty or something new that was unfamiliar. You do want to make sure that, you know, moving forward, that you are creating a positive association. It's not just about correcting the behavior, but that correction has to be in the picture in order to engage the dog's brain. So it's a combination of both, and every dog is different. So it's a matter of finding what works best for that individual dog owner pair, and what does that dog respond to the best. And that can be tricky too, when you're standing there and the dog starts kind of going off and firing off and barking, and, you know, we get flustered and it can be hard to kind of keep our heads on. So it's important to practice. So, excellent questions. Thank you for your calls. We do have some more time if you would like to call in and ask your dog-related question. We'd love to hear from you on air, 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And if you'd prefer to ask your question off the air, you can get in touch with me, host@dogtalkshow.com. I do private lessons in the greater Seattle area, as well as group classes, so I am available off the show as well at host@dogtalkshow.com. Excellent questions. So with Gilbert, who's also 10 months old, so he's an adolescent, a little older than the last caller's dog, but what he was doing was he basically learned based off of the reaction that he was getting from the people that...
And for people just joining us, this is the thieving Labradoodle that we were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah, I was talking about Gilbert, one of my clients. He's a 10-month-old Labradoodle, and his behavior is that he was stealing things, especially shoes, and running out, either running around the house or running into the backyard. And what was happening, due to the advice of another trainer, was that they get a treat and call him to them and then give him the treat for coming. But what happens is that Gilbert basically learned that if he stole a shoe, one, it would get him chased around the yard, which is fun. It's every dog's favorite game. Chase me, you can't catch me, I have what you want. Ha ha ha. Especially for an adolescent. But also that it got him, it was a way to basically initiate the interaction of call me to you and give me the treat. Mm. So now what they're having to do is sort of take, you know, some big steps back and restrict his freedom so that he doesn't have the space to run around, because when he does, they find it awfully hard to catch him and kind of get him out of the habit of doing that, and then also work on reinforcing other behaviors that they want, and then also learning ways to manage him and also to effectively correct the undesirable behaviors. But it takes time, you know, with this type of thing. Gilbert's 10 months old. They've had him since he was a baby. They've been doing this at least for a few months. So this is a behavior that's been consistently reinforced for months. So, which means it's worked for the dog for months. So in order for the dog to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to do this behavior anymore, it has to not work for them consistently.
Yeah, he had a profitable sideline there trading shoes for treats.
He did. So you can't blame him. I mean, he's not a bad dog. He's smart, actually. Very smart. You know, we worked with him a little bit, too. He's a very smart dog. He's a thinker. He's one of those intellectual dogs, which is not surprising because he has poodle in him. But so just, you know, it's all about cause and effect for dogs in a lot of situations. And so really breaking it down, what is the dog doing? Stealing shoes and running outside in Gilbert's case. Well, what's happening as a direct result of the dog's behavior? He gets chased and then he gets called and given a treat. Well, that reinforces it. Sometimes it's just simpler than we think. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk with Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Can carpet cleaners change the world? They can try. At Green Shield Carpet Cleaning, they believe that the earth is our only home. The cleaner we make it, the better home it is. Their process is Green Seal approved, 100% organic, non-toxic, hypoallergenic, perfume-free, and rinses clean. Right now, Green Shield Carpet Cleaning will clean up to three areas in a hallway for only $99. This includes pet urine enzyme treatment, deodorization, and stain guard application at no extra charge. Call Green Shield Carpet Cleaning at 206-414-1039. On the east side, call 425-440-8316. Or you can visit them on the web at greenshieldcarpetcleaning.com. Green Shield Carpet Cleaning, changing the world one customer at a time.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We've had some great callers today, great questions. If you would like to get your question in, or if you would like to play Dog Talk Show Trivia, which is coming up right after I give out these numbers, give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. My expertise is in dog training, behavior, and food. We would love for you to call in and ask your question on air, or you can reach me off air at host@dogtalkshow.com. So we have some Dog Talk Show trivia today. I will be giving away a full book of Adopt a Shelter Pet stamps that are very cute. And I'm going to ask the question now. So get your phones ready. Here's that number again.
Wait, just on the prize there, these are like postal stamps.
Postal stamps.
Yeah, yep. So they're quite valuable.
They are.
They're first class, right?
They are first class. Right. Adopt a shelter pet. They're not just collector stamps. You can actually mail things with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's to raise awareness about adopting animals from shelters, which is excellent. The number to call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free, 888-298-5569. Here's the question today. And this has A, B, C, and D options. So, which of these breeds is the only dog that cannot bark? Which of these breeds is the only dog that cannot bark? A, Borzoi. B, Saluki. C, Basenji. D, Whippet. What is the only dog breed that cannot bark? A, Borzoi. B, Saluki. C, Basenji. D, Whippet.
I gotta say, there's a few in there that I haven't even ever heard of before. So he's got to be
well.
Rare.
You got this one right, Eric.
I did get it right. Yes, I ruled out the dog breeds that I hadn't heard of.
So 425-373-5527. Again, that is 425-373-5527. If you think you know the answer, give us a call. We have Diane on line one. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Is it the Basenji?
It is. Well done.
Thank you.
So do you have a dog?
Yes, I do. I have a dog I rescued about 5 years ago. He's a Springer Pointer Cross.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Well, you will enjoy these Adopt a Shelter Pet first class stamps, a full book of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. And if you want to catch any of our past shows, you can go to the website, which is dogtalkshow.com, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Great. Thanks so much.
And we're going to send you back to Darcy and get your mailing address.
Okay.
And we'll get those out to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Basenji, indeed. The dog that can't bark. So Yeah. Good job, Eric, too.
Thanks. I can't win the stamp, so unfortunately.
No, you can't. So we have some events coming up here that I'd like to announce, or an event. Let's get this up here. International Association of Assistance Dog Partners, IAADP, and the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound will join in partnership to present a two-day conference, the Assistance Dogs at Work Conference, which is September 25th and 26th, here at the Embassy Suites Hotel SeaTac. Registration closes August 24th, but if you would register by August 1st, they would appreciate it. $90 for both days, but be sure to register separately. It's a two-day event, so you can go to the websites, and this information is posted on the Dog Talk Show website as well, www.iaadp.org, or you can go to the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound website, which is www.dogsaver.org/ADC, Assistance Dog Club. So that we're going to that conference. It's going to be great. It's anybody who is just interested in learning more about assistance dogs, service dogs, anyone who's working with service dogs professionally, any trainers, any people living with service dogs or who have family members who have service dogs. It's going to be a great conference, lots of great speakers. And we're looking forward to that. Just be sure to register $45 for each day, and you have to do that separately through each organization, either iaadp.org or dogsaver.org/ADC. And both websites will also get you to the other website, too. So that is excellent. And I saw there's a National Geographic show coming up about the history of dogs, which sounds really interesting. It's premiering Sunday, August 8th at 9 p.m., and it's a two-hour special, and it says that it will take viewers back 100,000 years to meet the mother of all dogs and trace the evolutionary journey of her descendants over the eons, even as we evolved ourselves. From cave dwellers to modern humans, this looks right up my alley. Question, though. The name of the program is, quote, "And Man Created Dog," end quote. And then it says, take viewers back to meet the mother of all dogs and trace the evolutionary journey of her descendants over the eons. So it kind of sounds like it should be "And Woman Created Dog," based off of their explanation. Just asking. So, other interesting, and that's on National Geographic, August 8th. That looks very interesting. I found a lot of interesting stories, and I have all of these links on the website. They're up now on the homepage. Some articles that I found, all sorts of different types of articles. I will just name off the titles, since we are getting towards the end of the show, but the links to the full articles are on the Dog Talk Show website. So go to www.dogtalkshow.com, and you'll see them right there. For example, three-legged dogs boost robot research. How could that be? Newly sequenced genome could shed light on human diseases. And this is actually they fully sequenced the genome of a dog. And this is actually kind of an old story. It's a few years old, but I thought it was really interesting that they fully sequenced. It was actually a boxer. And how that's helping. Dog saves man's life by biting off toe. How could that be?
Yeah, that doesn't. That seems weird.
I think this one is sort of a stretch, but and not for the fragile stomached. But the link is on the Dog Talk Show website. I thought it was interesting. And then there's an article too on thewholedog.org. They have a bunch of different articles, but specifically the one there is a new information about therapy dogs not being allowed to eat raw food diets, which to me is very disappointing. But there are some articles about that, and the link to that one is on there as well. As well as Gina, the army dog with PTSD, making outstanding progress. So all those links are on the Dog Talk Show website right now. You can go to dogtalkshow.com.
I'm starting to think that maybe the dog wrote the press release on that dog bites toe off to save man's life thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
looking for the silver lining on that one, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
That one's an interesting story. Well, we have Jennifer Bloom on next week for a segment as well as other dog news and trivia. So join us next week, Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. on the Dog Talk Show, and check out all the past shows on iTunes and on the website dogtalkshow.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here next week. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150.